Hey everyone, welcome to the End of Life University podcast. I'm your host, as always, Dr. Karen Wyatt, and today's date is September 12th, 2016, and you're listening to episode number 55. Today we'll be discussing how to talk with your healthcare provider about your end-of-life wishes, but before we get started on that topic, I'll just tell you a little bit more about End of Life University. This podcast consists of episodes in which I bring up topics around death and dying that really need to be addressed more thoroughly and deeply in our society, because we live in a society here in the U.S. in particular where death is still a taboo subject and something very difficult for most people to talk about or even think about. However, it's vitally important that we begin to have these conversations so that each one of us can look ahead to our own later days of life and plan ahead and for the type of care that we would like to receive at the end of life. This is to help prevent futile over-treatment at the end of life that is costly in terms of healthcare dollars, but also in terms of quality of life. So in order for each one of us to have the experience we'd like to have during our last days alive here on planet Earth, it's important for us to think about death and dying, plan ahead, and be prepared for those later days of our lives, even though none of us has any idea when that time will come or how our own dying will come about. We still need to formulate our own wishes for what type of care we would like to receive in case we end up in the hands of the medical profession. We need to know what our wishes are so that we can tell our family members what we want and they can advocate for us. And that's really the purpose of today's conversation that we'll get into a little bit later. So this podcast consists of conversations about all aspects of death and dying. If you look back through all the previous episodes, you'll see lots of different topics about funerals and green burials and advanced directives and hospice care and all types of stories and discussions about various aspects of death and dying, all of which we need to look at as a society and be open to conversations about. So this podcast features about half the time discussions by me. I'm a retired hospice physician, and I'm sharing with you my wisdom and experience and knowledge about death and dying. The other half of the time I feature interviews that are from the archives of End of Life University interview series. And you can go to the website eoluniversity.com if you'd like to learn more about that interview series. I post two interviews a month online. They're two brand new interviews every month with experts in various aspects of the end of life. And here on this podcast, I share some of the interviews from the archives from time to time. But if you'd like to hear all of those interviews or get access to them, go to eoluniversity.com. You'll learn about the interview series. You'll also find out about the Access Pass, which you can purchase for just $5 a month, $60 a year, actually, in order to get access to all of the interviews in the archives and hear all the fantastic content there now. And there are over 100 interviews in the archives at this point. So that's just to fill you in a little bit on what this podcast is about and End of Life University. If you're interested, you can subscribe to End of Life University on the website, and you'll receive notification each time a new interview is broadcast. So you'll receive a notification of who the speaker is and what they'll be talking about, so you can decide whether or not you'd like to listen, and that's all free. So go to eoluniversity.com and sign up there. Also, this podcast and the interview series are both being supported through the generosity of listeners who are making donations on my donation page on patreon.com/EOLU. Patreon is patreon.com/EOLU. There's a donation page there, and I'm asking for just a $1 or $2 a month donation that will help support these interviews. They help me pay for the expense of creating the interview series, hosting it, and posting all of this online. So if you feel so inclined, you can go to patreon.com/EOLU and make a donation if that is something that you'd like to do. And I thank you so much. I'm very appreciative to all of my supporters who have been giving generously to help make End of Life University a reality. So thank you very much. In current news, if you've listened to the podcast before, you may know that I've recently come out with a new book called The Tao of Death, which is an adaptation of Lao Tzu's Tao Te Ching through the perspective of death and dying, and that's available on Amazon.com, The Tao of Death by Karen Wyatt. And you can currently purchase the Kindle ebook, but also a print version is in the works and will possibly even be available by the time you listen to this podcast. So if you're interested in getting the print book, you can go there and pick that up. So thank you for that. And we'll get into our topic today, which is how to talk to your healthcare provider about your end-of-life wishes. And I've already alluded to the fact that it's extremely important for each one of us to think ahead about our last days on Earth and how we might like to spend those days. Now, in reality, none of us has control over what will happen to us at the very end of life, so we can't really determine exactly how we will spend those last days or when they will arrive. But all in all, it's in our best interest if we make some decisions in advance about what we would like to have in terms of medical care during our last days, considering we're most likely to die of a chronic debilitating illness, a terminal illness like cancer, or of old age. So in all of those conditions, we need to make some decisions about, would we want to be kept alive, for example, on a ventilator if we no longer had any brain function remaining? Would we want to be kept alive with artificial feeding if we weren't able to eat? And again, we had no brain functioning. We were in a deep coma from which we would never awaken, and suffering with a condition which would be terminal, fatal to us if we were not being given some sort of life-prolonging care. So those are important issues for us to think about, important decisions for us to make. And probably many of you may have heard of the Terry Schiavo case in the past, where Terry was being kept alive. She was in a permanent vegetative state, was being kept alive artificially, and there was a long protracted court battle over whether or not to remove her from that life-supporting care. And members of her family were at odds with one another about what Terry's preferences might have been. So this is the type of situation that each one of us could avoid if we have these very crucial conversations with our loved ones and also our healthcare providers in advance about our wishes. Some of the problems that came up in Terry's case and many other cases that have gone to court in the past are because the patient may have talked to one or another loved ones, may have given instructions for end-of-life care, but most likely not everyone heard the same information or interpreted it in the same way. And so in the absence of a legal document that was signed by the patient, it ends up becoming a court battle if family members can't agree on what type of care their loved one would have wanted or would have chosen. So the message here is make sure you create the legal documents that could be needed to guarantee you the type of care that you want to receive. And I'm not saying that the care that you should want to receive, no care. You need to think about it for yourself, because perhaps you are a person who wants to remain alive, physically alive, as long as possible, for as many days possible, even if that requires artificial hydration, mechanical ventilation, external support to keep your body alive. And it's perfectly valid if that's your choice, then you are within your rights to state that in writing and to let your family know that, so that they will know what to expect if the situation arises, that type of care is necessary for you. But you might fall on the other side of the equation and be a person who says, you know, I would rather just go when it's my time to go. I don't want to be kept alive. I don't want my body as an empty shell to just be sustained on life supporting measures. And in that case, it's extremely important that you let people know your wishes, have them in writing so that your loved ones can advocate for you, your physician can advocate for you, and so that there is a legal document with some sort of clout that can be used to make sure your wishes are followed. So in this talk today, we're going to focus in on how to talk with your healthcare provider about end-of-life wishes, because while I know I've emphasized it's extremely important to talk with your family members and make sure they know so that they are all in alignment and in agreement with what you want to have, although to be honest, there's a good chance not every one of your family members will agree with your choices, but it's important that even those who don't agree with you know what you want and have heard that. So they may not be comfortable, they may not agree, but they at least need to have heard what your wishes are. But equally important is that you have a conversation with your healthcare provider, and this is because there's a chance your own physician or provider will be part of your medical decision-making team at the end of life, will be involved in making choices for you if you're not able to speak for yourself. And so that provider needs to know what your wishes are, and those wishes need to become part of your permanent medical record so that they can be accessed by any healthcare providers who are giving care to you during your last days, especially if you cannot speak for yourself. But also your own physician, and I'm thinking particularly either a primary care physician or perhaps if you've been in prolonged ongoing care for a chronic debilitating illness or a life-limiting illness. So you might have a specialist who's been giving you care. That's another provider who should know what your wishes are. And so you can help guide your provider in their decision-making process on your behalf by having a conversation with them in advance about what you want. Now, ideally, it would be perfect if physicians here in the U.S. would initiate these conversations with their patients. And many of us are working toward that objective. I've been teaching courses and lectures on how to have end-of-life conversations for healthcare providers. And, you know, there's a movement urging providers to initiate these discussions, and Medicare even pays for these conversations now. Yet in one of the latest surveys I saw, only about 14% of doctors in our country in the U.S. are actually having the conversations with patients. So we have a long way to go before doctors will take the initiative and begin conversations with their patients about end-of-life issues. That's why I'm bringing this up today, in hopes of reaching the general public to convince you to bring the conversation up with your healthcare provider rather than waiting for them to talk to you about it. Because there's a good chance, with 86% of doctors still not very comfortable having these talks, there's a good chance your doctor will not bring it up. And so it needs to come from you in the beginning. And I have some tips for you about how to have this conversation and how to bring it up. And so the first tip is, don't wait. Do it now. Let your doctor know that you want to talk about it. You have questions, you have issues, you want to get your paperwork done, you want your doctor on board with this discussion with you. Let your doctor know about that when you're there for a visit. But don't have the conversation at that visit. You need to schedule a dedicated appointment just for this conversation, just to talk about your end-of-life issues. Because when you're there for, say, for your routine follow-up on your blood pressure or cholesterol or diabetes or, you know, some other health issue, usually those visits are rushed and packed full of necessary components that the doctor needs to address. And it's not a relaxed time when you and the doctor can sit down and have a dialogue back and forth with one another about the end of life. So it's far better if you schedule a dedicated appointment, and you'll need to call in. And also, I'll say it's not a good idea to have the conversation during your annual physical exam as well, though that is the one time when your doctor might ask you if you've completed an advance directive or not. That's because in a lot of medical records right now, there's a checkbox the doctor needs to check off saying, I asked about this. So the doctor might ask you if you've completed your living will or your advance directives yet. If you have, you can say yes, but add, but I'd like to talk to you about it. If you haven't done it yet, say no, but I want to talk with you about that on another visit. So don't try to cram that in the middle of your wellness exam, because once again, that visit is too hectic. There's too much going on and too many other things for the doctor to think about. So it won't be a very productive discussion. So call the front desk, make an appointment, tell the receptionist that you need a 30-minute appointment if you can get that, if that's available to you, and that you want to talk about your advance directives or talk about your end-of-life healthcare wishes, or you can indicate in some way that you have forms to fill out, you want to have a discussion with the doctor. Ask for 30 minutes if you can get it. It's very important that you have enough time, because you want this conversation to be relaxed. You want it to focus only on this question of how you want to be cared for at the end of your life. So the next tip is to be prepared. And this is one of the most important things you can do, is do your homework before you go in for that appointment. Don't go in with no idea what you want to talk about. So I'm suggesting you can go to theconversationproject.org. You can download the Conversation Starter Kit, which is a great way to do exactly what it suggests, to get started in the conversation. So you can go through the kit, answer all the questions, fill everything out, and it will give you a good idea. It helps you understand what it is that you would like to talk about and what you would like to bring up with your doctor. And it helps you look at some of the issues involved in planning for the end of life. So just by having completed the starter kit, you will be way ahead. You will already have thought through some of the issues you will already have looked at some of your feelings and your values. You'll look at what matters the most to you. So utilize that starter kit. Another option, you can do the Smart Decisions Challenge, which is a free, it's a 10-day step-by-step program that you can go through. It has just a series of questions that you ask and you go through over a period of 10 days, and it talks you through completing your advanced directives and completing, even talks you through completing the starter kit, completing five wishes if you'd like to do that, completing advanced directive forms for your state. So the Smart Decisions Challenge is at eoluniversity.com/challenge. And there will be a link to it in the show notes for this podcast episode. So you can go to the show notes and you'll find the link there that you can just click on to sign up for the Smart Decisions Challenge. So be prepared by having done some of this work. You need to investigate and think about your own feelings, your wishes, your values, so that you have a very clear idea in mind of what you would like for yourself at the end of life. The third tip is to choose your healthcare proxy in advance. So you will be asked on the official forms that you fill out to name the person that you would like to speak for you if you are unable to speak for yourself at the end of life. And it's very important that you choose the right person for this task. You need to choose someone who is emotionally strong and stable enough that they can step up in the middle of a crisis when you are at the end of your life and speak for you and negotiate with doctors to talk with the medical team and advocate for you and let them know what you want. So you need someone who's strong, who can handle the pressure of that situation, but also handle the emotion. If it's someone very close to you, it's possible that person will be in the midst of a grief crisis and may struggle to be your advocate at that particular time. So think that through. Think about which person could cope with their own emotion well enough to stand up and speak for you, but also a person who won't succumb to guilt feelings about making decisions on your behalf. And it's best if you choose someone who is in general alignment with your choices, who agrees with you, because if you choose a person from your family who basically disagrees with the choices you've made, that person will have a very difficult time expressing what you want instead of what he or she wants for you. So those are some things to think about as you're choosing your healthcare proxy. If you decide to do the Smart Decisions Challenge, there's a little talk about that in the Smart Decisions Challenge that will work you through how to pick your healthcare proxy. So if you need a little bit more advice about that. But the important thing is that you make that decision before you go to the doctor's office, because that's one of the things you'll be writing that person's name on the paperwork, and you'll be giving it to the doctor to keep so the doctor has a record of who your proxy is. You will also be asked to name two alternates for that person, so you have to have in mind your second and third choices as well. In addition, you should talk with these people before your appointment to make sure they're comfortable with the idea of being your healthcare proxy. So you want to make sure everyone's on board and says, yes, I'm willing to do that for you. I will act on your behalf and go ahead and write my name down, and I'm comfortable with someone calling me in if needed to meet with the medical treatment team and make decisions together. So make sure that you have a good buy-in from the person you're naming as your proxy. The next tip is to print your paperwork in advance. Every state has its own forms, advance directive forms. Some are called living wills. Some may have other names. There's also the healthcare proxy form where you name your proxy, but that might also be called the durable medical power of attorney. In some states, it all depends on the state in which you live. So you will need to find the forms for your state that you need to fill out. And if you go to caringinfo.org, you'll be able to download and print the advance directive forms for your state. They have the appropriate forms for every single state in the union here in the U.S. listed on that website. And you can go there and download and print the forms that you need, because you should have those in hand with you when you go to the doctor's office. So you'll want to bring your conversation projects starter kits or your smart decisions challenge notebook where you've written down answers to all these important questions, and the advance directive form, the healthcare proxy form, whatever forms you have downloaded from your state. You'll want to bring all of those with you when you go to the doctor's office for your appointment. So this is another part of the homework, that you make sure you print the forms, because most likely your doctor will not have the forms on hand. And if one of you has to go online and look it up during the appointment and print them out in the office, it's going to be annoying to the doctor. It will also waste precious time. So bring all the paperwork with you. Have it in a folder. Bring it in so it's there in front of you. And you'll be able to be much more efficient and productive during your appointment. So the next tip is that you bring a list of questions you have for the doctor. And, you know, you might think, oh, I know what my questions are. I don't need to write them down. But truthfully, in the midst of the pressure or the stress of an appointment like this, it's very easy to forget what it was you had concerns about last week when you were going through this paperwork and thinking about it. So as you're reading through the starter kit or doing the smart decisions challenge or looking at your advance directive forms from your state, keep a separate piece of paper where you jot down anything that comes to mind, anything that you might like to ask that you're not sure about or clear about. You can always cross those things off later, but this will help you make sure you don't leave out any crucial information that you need to have during this discussion with your doctor. So again, bringing a list of questions with you will help you be much more productive and efficient during this short visit with your doctor. And think about some things you might want to ask about are your own health status. And if you have a chronic progressive illness, you might want to ask the doctor, what's the time frame for this illness? Do you have any sense? And how will I decline at the end of life? And what kind of care might be necessary for me? And for how long? Those are great questions to ask your doctor. The doctor may not be able to answer all of them, but it's a great discussion for you to have so that you're very realistic about what to expect in the future for your own health. So again, other questions that you might want on your list are to ask the doctor to talk about what is CPR and when should it be used. That's cardiopulmonary resuscitation. When should that be used? What is mechanical ventilation? What is artificial nutrition and hydration? Those are terms you'll see in your advance directive forms, and you may want to just ask for more clarification, like what is that? What does it consist of? If you start it, how long does it continue? Is it possible to discontinue it if it has been started? And how would I ensure that that happens? You can ask the doctor for his or her advice as well. You might ask, you know, what would you do? What do you think is the best thing? But you don't necessarily have to follow that advice. Make sure you know that. This is about your wishes, your perspective on your own end of life process. So it's up to you. This is a choice you get to make. So you do not have to follow any healthcare provider's advice or suggestions unless they align with you and what feels right to you for yourself. So ask your questions, take any advice with a grain of salt, use it to help inform you, and then make the best choices you can for yourself. So the last tip is to schedule a follow-up visit if necessary. And I would say in most cases, it's a great idea to have a follow-up, maybe a couple weeks or a month later. Go back in, revisit the questions. Maybe you won't sign off on your paperwork at that first visit. Maybe you'll take it with you, think about things a little bit more, see if anything else comes up, any other issues. Maybe you want to do more reading or more research. So come back perhaps a month later, then sign the paperwork and leave it with your provider at that time. And in addition, it will be necessary to have a follow-up visit. It's recommended that you update your advance directives every 5 years or anytime there's a change in your health status. So this will be something to keep in mind in the future if you receive a new diagnosis, something that you were not aware of when you originally completed your documents. It's possible that how you look at things will change because of that diagnosis. So be prepared to make a new appointment down the road to relook at the decisions you made, to review it all and make sure it still fits you. Make sure that these wishes are still accurate for you at different stages in your life as you grow older and as your health status changes. So remember that this isn't about having a one-time discussion and then you sign a paper and that's it. It's done and over with. This is about an ongoing process of really preparing yourself mentally, emotionally, spiritually for the last days of your life. And you can't do that all at one time, and you can't do it in some ways, you can't fully do it until you get closer and closer to it. We just need to begin the process wherever we are, whatever age we're at as an adult, begin it where we are and gradually modify, shape, evolve our wishes and our plans as we move through life and see what happens, see what comes to us along the way. So remember that this is not something that you make a quick decision about one time. And I have been hearing a lot of stories about people who maybe went to an estate attorney in order to create a will and financial documents and were asked to sign a living will at that appointment by an attorney without any education about the medical implications of this paperwork or forms, simply because the attorney had it as part of the legal paperwork that should be completed for someone who's planning ahead. It's fine to do that with your attorney, but that's not sufficient really, because you're going to need a lot more investigation and exploration of what death and dying are about in order to truly be prepared for the end of your life. So that approach is the one-time conversation, sign the paper and you're done approach, but it's not nearly adequate enough, because you need to thoroughly explore what makes life meaningful for you. What values do you have? What do you care about? What do you most want to see in your life during your last days of life? So, and this is going to take time, as I pointed out, and you're going to keep changing and growing and learning things as you go through your life. So all of those answers might change over time. Just remember that. My advice is that once you open the door to thinking about death and dying and the end of life, that it actually become an open topic for you. An open topic in your mind that at any time you could stop and think about it. if something reminds you of it or something comes up with another person, you could have a conversation about it at any time. My best wisdom would be to open yourself to the fact that you are mortal and you will die one day, and you need to be holding that in your awareness and your acceptance all through your life so that you can make the most of every moment of life while you have it. Adopting that attitude about the end of life will be one of the most helpful things you can have as you age, as you get older, as you begin to approach the end of life. And the sooner you do it, the richer and more meaningful everything will become for you in your life. So this is why I recommend so adamantly that everyone do advanced care planning, that everyone create this paperwork, everyone have conversations, talk to your loved ones, talk to even close friends who might have a stake in what happens to you at the end of your life. Talk to your healthcare providers. Make sure everyone has heard what you're thinking about, what you're leaning toward right now. It doesn't have to even be a definitive answer, but just what comes to you right now and what feels right to you right now. And then ask them what they feel. Ask your loved ones what their preferences are. This should be a dialogue back and forth between us, because every one of us needs to address this issue of how we will face up to our last days of life. So my tips for you have been, I'll just review those. First of all, don't wait for your healthcare provider to bring up the subject. You are going to have to initiate it. Schedule a dedicated appointment for the conversation. Don't try to squeeze it in during another office visit or your annual wellness exam. Be prepared ahead of time. Do your own homework. Fill out some paperwork like the Conversation Starter Kit or the Smart Decisions Challenge. Go through, investigate, get some information for yourself so that you are ready and you've already thought about what you want. Choose your healthcare proxy and talk to that person in advance before your appointment. Next, print your paperwork in advance, and I'm talking about the state-specific forms that you need to have on file for your own state. And I may have forgotten to mention this, but if you live in more than one state during the year, you need forms for each state in which you reside, because those forms are not transferable from one state to another. So if you have homes in two different states and you go back and forth, you need paperwork for each state that you reside in during the year. Very important. Next, keep a list of questions as you go through this information and this material, and bring it with you to your appointment along with your other paperwork so that you can remember the important issues you want to discuss with the doctor. And then be open to scheduling a follow-up visit if necessary. Remember that you will most likely, you will have to go back in the future for another conversation. Plan ahead that maybe you'll want to go back in 2 to 4 weeks to finalize the conversation that you have begun with your healthcare provider. So those are my tips for you. If you keep listening to this podcast, you'll receive lots of other tips and suggestions along the way. Once again, you can go to the website eoluniversity.com. That's where you can find out about the Smart Decisions Challenge that you can sign up for free and get emails that will help you go through a process of completing your advanced directives. And be sure to tune in to future podcasts. Listen to some of the old episodes in the archives. You'll find lots of information there that might be helpful to you. As always, it's my honor and my pleasure to be here sharing information with you as a doctor, a hospice doctor in particular. I have a wealth of experience and knowledge about end-of-life issues, and I'm delighted to be able to share those and to be able to offer guidance to people out there. So I hope as well you'll share this episode with anyone that you think might benefit from it. And you can click on the show notes for the episode if you want to get links for any of the websites that I talked about during the talk. Meanwhile, it's been a privilege to be here speaking with you today. Thanks again for tuning in. Remember also to go to patreon.com/EOLU if you'd like to become a donor for this podcast and the End of Life University interview series. You can also help support my work by buying my books, What Really Matters and The Tao of Death, on Amazon. Search under Karen Wyatt, MD, and you'll find the books I've written that are being sold through Amazon. So thank you again for being here today. Take care and tune in next week for the next episode of End of Life University. Goodbye.